Item number three, a resolution by Supervisors Romo West, Stamper, and Dmitrievich establishing Milwaukee County policy with respect to honoring detainer requests from the United States Department of Homeland Security, Immigration, and Customs Enforcement.
Well, we welcome our first Vice Chairman, Supervisor Peggy Romo West. Supervisor Romo West, the floor is yours.
Thank you. It's always good to be here. It's good to see you, Mr. Chairman, this morning and this honorable body. This morning I am here to discuss with you an item that is not only a sign of the times, but also a means by which Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department may be able to benefit financially. As most of you are aware, in the 2012 budget, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department took about approximately $14 million cut to its budget. As a result of that, we have been notified as a board that there may not be or will not be a Parks Patrol, a TEU. Supervisor Wyshon just prepared a letter that most of us signed and sent to the sheriff's office. The sheriff does have some serious budget issues. Beyond that, there are other counties, our friends to the north, Cook County, under the authorship of Jesus Garcia, commissioner there, as well as Santa Clara, California, and several counties in New Mexico have decided that they will not honor ICE detainers. In fact, there is legislation, AD 1081, which is currently in the Assembly in California, being sponsored by State Representative Tom Amiano, that will effectively end California's relationship with ICE as it pertains to ICE detainers unless they are serious or violent felonies. As you'll notice, the resolution before you, I have expanded that. I want to just briefly explain to you what an ICE detainer does. An immigration ICE detainer is a tool used by ICE and other Department of Homeland Security, DHS officials to identify potentially deportable individuals who are housed in jails or prisons nationwide. An immigration detainer is an official request from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, to another law enforcement agency, such as a state or local jail, that the law enforcement agency to notify ICE prior to releasing an individual from local custody so that ICE can arrange to take over custody. Detainers are requests. They're not commands. They are not arrest warrants, and they do not provide probable cause for arrest. The presence of a detainer is not indicative of an individual's immigration status. Detainers do not begin deportation proceedings and do not signify whether a person will or will not be deported. Thus, detainers are different from a notice to appear or an NTA, which is an official civil/immigration filing that commences a removal proceeding against an individual. An immigration detainer document merely states that investigation has been initiated to determine whether this person is subject to removal from the United States. An authorized immigration official or a local police officer designated to act as an immigration official through the 287 program can issue a detainer to any other federal, state, or local law enforcement agency. So this is a means by which you identify people that you believe to be in this country illegally. It is not a warrant. It is not something that is mandatory. What happens many times with detainers is that this is cause for a person to not be able to bond or bail themselves out of jail, which means we are holding on to them for a longer period of time than we need to. In addition, the ICE detainer allows for us to hold on to an individual for 48 hours longer than their sentence. And so what happens is again, we end up housing people that we are not being fully reimbursed for, and we're putting people in a situation where, as you and I may be able to bond out, they're not able to. And again, this is not this is not solely, this is not solely happening to people who are in this country who are undocumented, and B, this is not happening as within the ICE parameters to just criminal. People identified as criminal aliens. And you have to forgive me because I really don't like using the terms illegal or criminal, so that's why I'm wincing a little bit here at my words. The other thing is that this does not just affect people that are undocumented. This affects immigrants. A lot of, and I'm not entirely sure because I haven't been able to get a clear answer from the Sheriff's Department as to how they identify people for an ICE detainer. Many municipalities do what we would describe as racial profiling. If you have a last name that fits within a certain ethnic group, if you're asked a question upon arrest as whether or not you were born in this country, if you have an accent, some people go by the way that you look, and these are all methods that are currently being used to determine whether or not someone is a good candidate for an ICE detainer. In other bigger pictures, the use of detainers has been found to be unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional for two reasons. The first reason is because in several states they have found that it's an unconstitutional commandeering of local law enforcement, saying that ICE does not have the authority to come in and tell local municipalities like us how to use our resources. In another case, although people like to talk about the fact that someone who's here undocumented or without proper paperwork is not a U.S. citizen and therefore is not subject to the rights of our Constitution, but in the United States, you cannot hold people without probable cause. So what you have in front of you is you have a resolution that asks that we do not honor ICE detainers for people who are picked up for driving offenses, for people who are picked up for misdemeanors other than, and you can read them there yourself, domestic violence offenses, drunk driving offenses, because I know we have had some situations with that here in Milwaukee County. And it, obviously, if they're being charged with a felony, we'll definitely hold on to them. And I just want to say again that this is counter to what some of our fellow counties have done. There are counties in the United States that do not honor ICE detainers at all. And so what I'm asking is not that we don't honor them at all, but that we honor them within certain parameters and allow for people who have not committed serious crimes to be able to be sent home. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Let me go with Supervisor Harris and then send to local in Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to move approval and be asked to be added as a co-sponsor. And I wanted to also say I do applaud Supervisor Roma West for presenting this resolution because I think it's important to Milwaukee County as a whole not to put ourselves in positions to be discriminatory against any individual that lives in our county. So thank you for this.
Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of years ago when I was on Judiciary Committee, we had this topic come before us. And if my memory serves me correct, it's not the Sheriff's Department that decides who gets held on these detainers. The supervisor mentioned that, you know, some of the criteria used by the Sheriff's Department. So I was wondering if we could have somebody from the Sheriff's Department maybe come up and comment on this process and kind of make a clarification as to exactly how this is done, because we're being given the illusion that this is a big problem and every single person that comes in is detained unnecessarily, and from my recollection from our prior testimony, that's not the case. I'd like to hear from the law enforcement professionals, none of which we are, although Jerry used to be in the law professional. And, you know, because my concern always is that when you have those of us who are not professional law enforcement people making policy regarding law enforcement, you know, we do it for the wrong reasons. You know, what we want to do is we have an obligation to protect the citizens of this county, and I don't want to make decisions just based on something that may, you know, feel good as opposed to not being what's best. So.
Very good. I know Supervisor Weishaupt, you're next, but can we allow?
Oh, yeah, sure. Does.
Okay, thank you. Gentlemen, please. Have a seat. Good to have you,
Chairman.
And,
Supervisor.
Good, how are you?
For the record, I think most of us know you, but.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Edward Bailey, on behalf of Sheriff Clark, I'm joined by one of my deputy inspectors from my Detention Services Bureau, Deputy Inspector Kevin Niklevich. I'll start my comments. I'll be appearing on, I think, several items today. Congratulations on your appointment as chair of this committee, Supervisor. And to the returning members and the new members, welcome. So in response to the supervisor's statements, there are some parts that I'll just stipulate to as law enforcement. The concept that other counties in the United States have taken similar actions is true. We are familiar with that. San Francisco, California, Santa Clara, California. And I don't want to characterize it as only what's happening on our West Coast, but the supervisor correctly noted Cook County, Illinois, just to our south, has taken a similar step. So we are familiar with that. There is a issue of finance. My peer to my left will be able to talk about that, particularly because there's some testimony that this is really a financial or budgetary matter. The supervisor noted the hit that the sheriff's office budget took this year, which is certainly on the minds of many committee members as well. I think that's a fairly de minimis item as it relates to this. We do get reimbursement from Immigration and Customs Enforcement for the holding of people on their detainers once they've accepted custody of the inmate. That is to say that the hold is then based upon Immigration and Customs Enforcement's accepting the inmate under their guidelines, and my peer will talk about that as needed. He has the numbers of both the numbers of inmates we're talking about and also the numbers of dollars that we're talking about. But more to the point of, I think, of why I'm here is really this thought of what is a detainer, and it's really a cooperative agreement between law enforcement agencies. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is a law enforcement agency. It's a federal law enforcement agency. They do ask us to hold, as all other law enforcement agencies do, inmates while they conduct investigations. We get detainers from federal law enforcement agencies. We get detainers from the Milwaukee Police Department. We get detainers from the Bayside Police Department. There are controls in how long law enforcement may hold on a detainer. Within state jurisdictions, generally 48 hours. So there is a clock. There are controls on how long we can hold on a detainer. Once a federal agency accepts custody under their jurisdiction and authority, then in this case it would shift to the federal clock under what Immigration and Customs Enforcement is allowed to hold for. There are venues to challenge issues of constitutionality, issues of propriety, and the sheriff's position is, as it relates to federal law enforcement, the correct venue to challenge what Immigration and Customs Enforcement does is a committee of the United States Congress. And the venue to challenge the constitutionality of what they do is ultimately the United States Supreme Court. Now, there's a way to get there, starting at the local level. We envision a system in which we force brother and sister law enforcement agencies in interacting with each other to always run to a magistrate, run to a court, and get a writ issued or a court order issued or a warrant issued. And I'm not sure that that's a law enforcement practice that we want to enter into when I think there are reasonable controls over how long a detainer can be in effect. I would also say that I often see people's eyes glaze over when I talk about the sheriff's constitutional authority. But on this point, it's not absolute, but it's one of the pillars of why we have sheriffs. The sheriff runs the county jail under his constitutional authority. He interacts with other law enforcement agencies under his constitutional authority. And finally, just one point about how the sheriff's office identifies inmates that may be ripe for detainers. The suggestion is that there's interaction between the sheriff's office and ICE in which the sheriff's office is notifying ICE, we have this person in our custody and they may be ripe for a detainer. That is not the case. We honor detainers sent to us by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We do not suggest potential detainer subjects to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
I don't know if Deputy Inspector McClain had anything to add. First of all, how's your brother doing?
Yeah. He's doing wonderful.
Well, give him our best, please.
Yeah. I will do so, Supervisor. Thank you. Well, Mr. Sherman, Supervisors, good morning. In terms of the numbers, I will tell you that in 2010, there were 247 inmates that had ICE detainers. For 2011, there were 322 inmates that had ICE detainers. And in terms of reimbursement, reimbursement is recognized from the State Criminal Alien Assistance Program. It is SCAP, S-C-A-A-P, which is administered by the Bureau of Justice Assistance. And in terms of the dollar amounts of that reimbursement for Milwaukee County, in 2009, $135,373. In 2010, $131,250. And for 2011, $106,730.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any, Supervisor Broderick, I know that Supervisor Weishan.
I'm sorry.
After the line of questions with the Sheriff.
Sure. Herbert. Thank you.
Go ahead, Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you. Perhaps either one of you might respond to this, but have there been proven cases of abuse of ICE detainers by law enforcement in the past, and what safeguards, if so, have been implemented here to guard against such cases?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor, with the use of the term abuse, I would say I'm not aware of any. I think to the point, are there instances in which Immigration and Customs Enforcement places a detainer on a subject and later determines that a deportation proceeding is not warranted and releases the detainer? The answer to that is yes. I don't have the number of how many instances that occurs in. But that happens in the world of law enforcement, as you well know, many times, in which an investigation is initiated, found not to be warranted, and then a release occurs. It's part of the fabric of American life. I'm not sure that I would characterize that as an abuse. That does occur, and I can certainly find out in how many instances, say for 2011, that has occurred, if that's the wish.
Thank you. I guess given the number of law enforcement agencies involved, including Sheriff Joel, I would be surprised if there are no allegations, at least, of abuse, because this is open to that kind of interpretive qualifications. That, for instance, on the document that we're looking at here, on the resolution, there's an exception, and that's if the defendant pending criminal case has an outstanding criminal warrant or is identified mm-hmm. as a gang member. Now, it seems to me, given my experience in law enforcement, that if you're looking for a reason to stop someone, you can usually find a broken taillight, you can usually find someone who doesn't signal for a turn, you can usually find reason to make that probable cause stop. And I'm a little concerned when I look at this document, and I tend to favor this resolution, that the exception of being identified as a gang member is one of those hooks that might be used to, that potentially could be abused, and that's not calling into question the integrity of law enforcement at all. It's just that having worked in law enforcement, I understand that the diversity of opinion on the parts of many officers and the essential discretion that each officer has at his or her command is very real. And unlike those people who compare law enforcement to military organizations seem not to understand that they are very different in nature, in that command decisions in the military are made at the top and carried down. Decisions in law enforcement agencies are made at the bottom and reviewed as mm-hmm. you go up in that fashion. So any individual And, of course, review mechanisms are built into law enforcement, and I understand that command officers are oftentimes overrule the initial judgments of law enforcement officers on the street. But I just have a little difficulty believing that there have not been identified and proven cases of the abuse of detention processes by law enforcement. Although I'll take that your word on that, it doesn't particularly change my want to safeguard people from that kind of abuse. Officer Niklevich, do you have any other opinion on the matter other than what has been expressed by Ms. Bailey?
I do not. I do not have the stats or the numbers, so I would not comment on them, not having those available.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Supervisor Santola, for these gentlemen?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have mentioned that 247 and 322, respectively, were detainees. Out of what was the total number of people that had gone through the system during those years? Do you have those? I'm trying to determine if this is a, you know, what type of a percentage of people that end up on this detainee list.
Within 1,000, 39,000 people held in the Walk County Sheriff's Jail.
So out of 39,000, there's a 200 or 300 maybe that are asked for detainees. Okay. And again, I just want to make one comment. I think that, and perhaps either one of these gentlemen want to answer, but again, we're not law enforcement professionals, and I think if the law enforcement professionals deem that this program is something that's beneficial for public safety, and we don't see evidence that there's, you know, out of 39,000, if 15,000 people are being asked to be detained, it's one thing, but it's when it's 200 or 300 out of 39,000, it doesn't seem like there's a rampant problem here. And I just don't think that we should be making decisions that are second-guessing what the experts in law enforcement
Okay, Supervisor Weishen, I know you've been patient, and I've tried to, with the Sheriff's Department being here, but please.
Yes, actually, I just wanted to compliment Supervisor West for bringing this forward. And just on this one piece, there's a reason they call us lawmakers and they're law enforcement. We have all the tools and all the intelligence and all the capabilities to pass coherent reasonable laws, and it's their job to enforce it, and that's the protection in a civil society, is the separation of the two. So I'm not willing to abdicate our responsibility and defer to law enforcement. Their job is to follow the rules that are set by the lawmakers. I think there are some concerns out there with these detainers, and like I said, I think it is very important that this resolution put forward by Supervisor West, that we approve it, and I would encourage my colleagues to support this. Okay. Thank you very much.
Supervisor Wilma West.
Thank you. I just want to make a couple of points. The first one is to differentiate between detainers posed to us by the state or by other municipalities. When you have that happen, you know with 100% certainty that, A, the person who is the subject of that detainer has committed a crime, and that they are wanted by another municipality. In the case of ICE detainers, you have individuals who have been pulled over for driving offenses who are now being detained and have not been put through the system, and you do not know that ICE is coming for them. And as Inspector Bailey said, there are cases where ICE processes someone and decides, well, I'm not coming. And then who ends up eating the cost? We do. The other thing that's interesting about ICE detainers is that the 48 hours is work week hours. And so if you detain someone on a Friday and there's no court until Monday, then we're eating the cost for those additional days. We're also eating a cost for additional holidays. I'm not asking that we do not honor ICE detainers at all. What I'm asking in this resolution, if you read it, is that I'm asking for people who don't fit into the category of, serious or violent felony offenders, basically people, you know, people who have committed driving offenses, people who have committed other minor offenses, who are being held away from their families, for them not to be, for us not to honor ICE detainers. And it's 100% within the purview of Milwaukee County to not honor those ICE detainers. This is a voluntary program. It is a request. Now, if they're requesting that, you know, someone who is convicted of a homicide be held on an ICE detainer, I am 110% in agreement that that person should be held. But again, what I'm talking about is people who do not fit into the criteria outlined on the second page of the resolution, people who have been picked up for whatever reason. And again, if you do your research, the majority of the people that we are holding on these ICE detainers are people who have minor violations, driving violations. And some of them, and I know, again, when you hear the term ICE detainer, you like to think that this person is someone who is undocumented, and that's absolutely not the case. These are immigrants. And I did pass out a form. I did pass out a handout that had the breakdown of our immigrant population here in Wisconsin. And as you can see, you know, we are a state of immigrants. 88.4% of Wisconsin's children have immigrant parents and are U.S. citizens. And so this affects a wide variety of our citizenship. And so, again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not asking that we obliviate this program. I am not asking and will not ask in the future that we do what Cook County did, which is to say we will not honor ICE detainers at all. What I'm asking is, can we please stick within the purview outlined on the second page and just detain people that fit into these specific crimes? Thank you.
Questions for the inspectors? Okay, Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I see the both sides as usual here, and maybe I can get right to the point here, is that in Supervisor West, now if I'm the one of the 200 or 300 people, then I care, I guess, and I try to appreciate that. And also what I'm trying to appreciate here is, you know, you made a comment initially on, Mr. Bailey, on does this really, you know, save us any money? So I guess maybe the question I'm looking for is just practically speaking, does this deter the sheriff's office anyway? Is this, I mean, you know, people who are having serious crimes are going to be held. So is this a way actually not to put some people in jeopardy who obviously many, you know, can't afford the 3 or 4 days that we were talking about and we were all concerned about? We're concerned about the cost. Sheriff's budget got hit. I'd rather budget got hit the last couple of years, I would like to say also. Okay. So could get right to that point. I mean, there's an assertion here, and I'm not just strictly talking about just money, but that enters in all our decisions all the time, too. It has to. So are you following my train of thought there, please?
I think I am, Mr. Chairman, if it pleases the board. The for me to be in agreement with the supervisor's point that because these individuals were brought in on minor charges, and in some instances perhaps traffic charges, that no need for federal law enforcement will stem from that act, would require me to, the moment I receive a detainer from ICE, conclude where that investigation is going to end, what the federal law enforcement agency knows about the individual, what can be in within 48 hours known about the individual. But it forces me to make a decision the moment they're presented at the county jail that I'm not going to honor that detainer, release the subject from custody, and potentially find out later from the federal law enforcement agency that there was a great reason to hold that individual. That's sort of the nature of law enforcement. So what it is that presents the individual to me at my jail and what is ultimately knowable at a federal law enforcement level about that individual are two very different things. And that's why the control is that the detainer has 48-hour limits on local law enforcement. That's what the that's what the control point is, to make sure we're not engaging in long-term detentions of individuals using our authority. Once the federal agency accepts custody of the inmate and is now holding them under their authority, then they go under federal guidelines. So I don't want to give the supposition that in law enforcement we know as we meet a person on the side of a street or in the booking room in the Milwaukee County Jail everything there is to know that's knowable about that individual. That's really why we have a detainer system. I suppose that's the best way to put it. So to be in the practice of saying I'm not going to honor another law enforcement agency's detainer for 48 hours because I think I know everything that's knowable about that individual from a law enforcement standpoint is an area that I'm not comfortable with.
Other questions for the gentleman here? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deputy Inspector McClavage, that reimbursement dollar amount for 2009, what was that again, sir?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, please. The dollar amount for 2009 was $135,373.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, just to clear up a control point in the resolution that the supervisor has put forward, she stipulates that she's not talking about felony convictions or serious misdemeanor convictions. And the reality of that is this resolution would have a much less of effect. I don't want the committee to believe that my testimony is that this would obviate, to use her language, or obliterate the detainer program. Most of the people in those numbers that were held by the sheriff's office were held for felonies and misdemeanors as well. They had underlying charges. Thank you.
Supervisor Romo West, on that account, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to, Deputy Inspector Niklevich was kind enough to share with us the reimbursement rates.
Yes.
But I think another question worth asking is how much was the actual cost to Milwaukee County for incarcerating these individuals? Because if we are receiving the actual cost for incarcerating these individuals, then we would probably be alone in the nation. That is one of the number one complaints from other municipalities is that they do not receive actual reimbursement for the actual cost of the incarceration. They receive a daily rate, which may or may not be what it has cost Milwaukee County to incarcerate these individuals. Thank you.
Any other questions for the inspectors? Before I excuse you guys, and right now, Inspector Bailey, you can run circles around me. I guess because I'm brand spanking new, is your department in favor of this or not in favor of this?
Thank you. A simple question for a simple answer, Mr. Chairman. We are not in favor of not honoring law enforcement detainer requests from other law enforcement agencies.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Other questions from committee members? I know that Supervisor Harris had a comment, so I look to you, Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to withdraw my motion for approval and ask and make a motion to refer back to staff, the item back to staff.
Okay. That changes the discussion a little bit. Any other comments?
I would just wonder at the rationale for referral back.
Well, there were some questions, particularly the concern that you had, which helped me to, you know, as far as if someone appeared to look like a gangbanger or something of that nature or in the gang, that sort of helped me to make my decision to refer it back. But just to get a little more clarity and see if we needed to clarify the language. Or controls.
Supervisor Broderick.
Well, I only said that as a cautionary comment. I'm not objecting to the way this is defined. It's the way it's implemented. I see that as a potential problem, but I don't see it as a problem that could be corrected in terms of language, but rather in terms of practice when applied. So I'm not too sure that if referring it back to committee would do anything to alter this.
Well, then I withdraw my.
Supervisor Harris,
thank you. Sorry, I was talking too fast and out of turn. Well, I will withdraw my referral back to staff and go back to my original motion, and that is motion to approve.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Supervisor Alexander, welcome. Come on forward.
Thank you,
gentlemen. And nice to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a few comments from being in the audience.
Yeah.
First was, it seems that Supervisor Roma West's assertion that ICE detainment is unconstitutional seems to refer to whether or not ICE can force our compliance, not whether or not ICE detainment for non-serious crimes is actually allowable. So I just wanted to ask for clarification on what part are we talking about when we ask about constitutionality.
Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you.
Can you address that, please?
I can. I'm sorry, and just to go back for a second, to Supervisor Broderick's point regarding the abuse of ICE detainers, I do have, and I can copy and submit to the committee, that Yale has a lawsuit claiming that ICE detainers are unconstitutional, and do have a case in point of a gentleman who was stopped for a driving offense and was detained. And there is another case in New York City where a gentleman was just awarded $145,000 after being detained inappropriately through an ICE detainer. So my understanding of ICE detainers is that initially an ICE detainer was used for drug offenses, and we have now wandered very far away from that. And so in regards to the unconstitutionality of it, again, there have been states that have pursued this in court because of ICE coming in and commandeering their local resources and have won those cases. So that's so it has been found unconstitutional on several occasions when challenged. Does that answer your question, Supervisor?
Supervisor Alexander, does that help you?
Somewhat. I just want to clarify again. So it sounds like there are some cases pending questioning the constitutionality of whether or not ICE can force the county's compliance, not the issue of whether or not ICE detainment on its own is constitutional, correct?
There is nothing saying that Milwaukee County or any county has to honor ICE detainers. It is 100% optional, and if you called ICE and asked them, they would tell you that. ICE also has ripped up all of the MOAs that they've had with states because of some of this legislation that is now coming about. And so it is a courtesy that we are extending to ICE. And again, I'm not asking that we say no to them for every single incident, but what I am saying is that unless these individuals fit into the categories stated in the resolution, that we say no, we have better use of our time and our resources than to hold people on driving offenses and such.
Okay. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second point that I wanted to make was regarding lines 35 through 38 in the resolution itself. In reading it, I would just comment that it seems to suggest that Milwaukee County would want to officially oppose the potential for deportation proceedings against illegal aliens, and it is my opinion that that does not seem like a wise position to take when this resolution would impose a hindering resolve on our law enforcement, and it would potentially be contrary to the county board's agenda to build better relationships across governmental units. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, and Supervisor Alexander, not to be the wet blanket, you will have that opportunity on the board floor, but I did want to give you some leeway right now because I'm impressed. I know that you were at in attendance at yesterday's meeting. You're not on this committee yet. You're here. You have questions, and so I'm going to encourage that. I would also say that Supervisor Roma West is available to answer specific questions. But as a new supervisor, Supervisor Alexander, you will be able to have your day in court, if you will, on this item at the board floor. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If there is nothing else, then I'm going to look to our clerk. We go back to the original motion by Supervisor Harris to for approval.
Okay. Supervisors Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Mr. Chair?
No.
4 ayes, 3 noes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.